Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein, and this is Perek Lamed Dalet of Sefer Yechezkel, chapter 34 of the book of Yechezkel. And now Hashem is going to turn his attention to the leaders of the Jewish people and discuss their flaws and their problems. So it starts, Vahidvar Hashem Elai Lemor, Ben Adam Hinave Al Roei Yisrael Hinave Ve'Amar Talehem. So Hashem says, the word of God comes to Yechezkel saying, Ben Adam, give a prophecy to Roei Yisrael, the shepherds of the Jewish people. So the metaphor for this chapter will be of the Jewish people as a flock of sheep and their leaders as their shepherds. Hinave v'amarta alehem laroim ko amar Hashem Elokim hoi Roei Yisrael asheyu roim otam halo atzon yiru haroim. So first, in when I say leaders, it's interesting that Rashi and Radak focuses most specifically on the kings. Rashi says Parnasei Yisrael. So Parnasei Yisrael means in general the leaders of the Jewish people, not only the kings. I'm not sure that's significant, but it's at least possible that the Radak focuses on kings and would think that ordinary leaders don't have the exact same levels of responsibility towards the people and maybe would not be fully included in this nevuah. Whereas Rashi seems to think that anybody whose job, whose task is the leadership of the Jewish people is invested with these responsibilities. And then when it says, Hashem says, this is what Hashem says, how terrible it is, right? To the shepherds. Asher hayu roim otam. Roim otam, Rashi and Radak both understand to mean that they were taking care of themselves. Roim otam, roim et atzmam. They were tending to themselves when it's the job of a shepherd to tend to the flock. So, interestingly, in a philosophical sense, the Radak quotes, cites or points to pasuk about the burial of Moshe Rabbeinu, so there it says Vayikbor Oto Bagai, and he points to it as parallel to here, meaning that he's understanding. And if you look in Rashi there, Rashi too sees it that way. Vayikbor Oto Bagai, Hu Kavar Et Atzmo, he buried himself. So we have this tradition that Hashem buried Moshe Rabbeinu v'chavodo v'atzmo, and it's a beautiful thing, and it means something. But it's interesting that at a simple level, at a pshat level, both Rashi and Radak understand that Moshe Rabbeinu had a large hand in that burial process, whatever it was. Here, in our context, what it means is that they are taking them care of themselves and not of the Jewish people. You take the best. Hachelev is often the fat of the animal, but it's also, in general, a notion of the best of whatever is out there, right? There's a pasuk somewhere, which I didn't look up because it only just occurred to me now, but there's a pasuk somewhere that says that when you give tzedakah, it should be kol chilev, it should be the best of everything. And there's a tradition, therefore, that while it's wonderful to give old and used clothing, there's an even higher level if you make sure that your tzedakah is even from the ordinary good stuff that you would want for yourself as well. So chilev, so Radak here on chilev says, right, at meitav hatzon, the best of the sheep they eat, and they take the best for themselves. And then the puzzle goes on the same way, right? And they wear the wool, the best of the wool, and the best of the animals, the healthiest of the animals they sacrifice. So again, this is all a metaphor. We're talking about people, and we're not talking about they sacrifice people, but that they use them for their own purposes, and hatzel no tiro. And they don't take care of the flock at all. So they're using leadership for their own purposes, right? Leadership is serving them rather than them serving the people. And there's always a challenge in leadership, right? Even well-intentioned leaders enter it perhaps for the purpose of serving the public, but very often end up serving their own purposes, their own needs, and not even understanding it. They see it as important. So I need that car, or I need that house, I need that kickback because I can't survive and do the good that I'm doing if I don't get these corrupting influences. So there are many, many leaders, I believe, many politicians, we would call them today, but in the time of Yechezkel would have been leaders and kings who, in their own minds, legitimately needed whatever it was that we saw as corrupt, that we would see as corrupt and corrupting, and taking for themselves wasn't, oh, I'm taking for myself. It was, this is part of what being a leader is. You need the pomp and the circumstance, you need the money, and that will help you do the other good things. So Yechezkel is protesting that here. Et hanachlot lo chizaktem, et hachola lo ripetem, valishberet lo chavashtem, validacha lo hashevotem, lo hashevotem, ve'et ha'ovedet lo vikashtem, uv'chazaka riditem, uv'chozka riditem, otam uv'farach. You didn't take care of those who needed your assistance in achlot, or the weak, or the thin, or the undernourished. you didn't strengthen them. The sick, you didn't heal. The broken, you didn't fix up. Lo chalashtem. Rashi says that when you have broken bones, you tie them together, as the doctors do, sort of some primitive, not relatively primitive form of setting bones. You didn't do that. The lost, you didn't come back and bring back those who are fully lost, right? The nidachat is the straying. You didn't turn back to the right way. The ovedet is the ones who are lost. You don't know where they are. You didn't look for them. And you have ruled over them strongly with a strong hand. And you haven't been taking care of your job, of what your responsibilities are, ota, and you've done it you've ruled over them with hard labor. So the Radak concludes, it's not only the weak and the poor and the struggling, but the reference to the nidachat and the ovedet. So the Radak says it's captives or those who have gone into exile already, or any of those people have not been, the leadership of the Jewish people have not been caring about them and taking care of them. So when you have a flock that is not being well tended, they just scatter. And they become food for any wild animals that are on the fields, and they just scatter even more out of fear of the animals looking for them. And so my flock, Hashem's flock, the Jewish people are wandering on all the mountains, every high hill, every ve'alkol p'nei ha'aretz nafotu tzoni ve'in deresh ve'in vacation. There's nobody looking for them. There's nobody trying to bring them back, which should have been the job of the leadership. So Rashi on Yishgu tzoni says holchot to'ot o'p'nikol harim kolomar nasu efkel asot ish ish kir tzono v'lo chochachtem otam v'lo shvatem b'nish l'reyehu. Rashi says they each do whatever they want. They're doing whatever they want, and nobody's there to judge them and tell them the right way, the right path. So for Rashi, the standard here or the issue here isn't necessarily that they're poor and impoverished and the leadership doesn't take care of them. It's also that they're not following any system of justice, let alone a Torah system of justice, and the leadership is not doing anything about that, and that's really the job of leadership. So therefore, these leaders, these shepherds, Hashem has something to say to you. Hashem swears that because of the fact that the flock have been a prey and they've been left open so that all of the chayot of the sadeh without a shepherd can prey upon them. And the shepherds have not sought out the flock, and they take care of themselves and not the flock. Therefore, roim, listen to the word of God. So, Pesukim Zayin Chet and Tet, and then Yud is going to go into it again, but notice that Hashem says, therefore, roim, hear what Hashem has to say. I swear that because of this, and because you did these things, and then lachin erim shemu v'var Hashem. So there is an emphasis here. It's one example. I think I pointed it out before, but there's an emphasis here on making sure that the causes are understood before the punishment or before the prediction of downfall is given. It's a repeat of lachin roim shemu haroim shemu v'var Hashem, when the first time all that it had was because you've done these things. And we started off the nevuah with you've done all these things. So the nevuah starts, you've done these, the roim have done these wrong things. Therefore, we hear what I have to say. So you'd think that therefore would already be the punishment or the consequence. But the therefore is, and remember it's because of. So that's an aspect of awareness that we sometimes don't notice so much, right? That Yechezkel is very adamant and very firm and very consistent in making sure that the punishments that are predicted and the warnings that are given are all always predicated on an understanding of what it was that went wrong, of what it was that was done wrong. So here too you have an example of that. Now Pasuk Yud, Komar Hashem Elokim, Hineni El Haroim V'Darashti Etzoni Mi'Adam V'Yishbatim Mir'ot Tzon. I'm going to come to the leaders and I'm going to demand of them my flock. I'm going to try to see what's going on, why they haven't taken care of them or what's going on with them, and I'm going to stop them from being my leaders. And then therefore they won't have the ability to take care of themselves and at the expense of the nation. And I'm going to save my flock from them, and they'll no longer be open for people to, for other nations, for other animals to eat. So the Radak says what's talking about here is they're going to have a loss of melucha. That's the prediction here. So Hashem says, because this is what I'm going to say, I'm going to look after my flock, uvikartim. Rashi interestingly says, it's from the language, the same language as bikur cholim. So bikartim here means I'm going to check in on them, I'm going to examine what's going on with them, I'm going to check on their situation. So when Rashi says bikur cholim, that's the lashon of bikur cholim, it teaches you something about bikur cholim rather than about Yechezkel. But an important lesson about Bikur Cholim, it teaches you that Bikur Cholim is not, I go to visit them, it's supposed to be going to check on them and seeing their situation, and that's an important element of what the visit is all about. It's to learn more about the situation, and the Rabban says that from there you're supposed to learn better and understand better how to properly pray for this person that they be healed. It's not just, oh, let them get better. It's you'll understand more fully what it is that's wrong with them, what it is that is ailing them, and once you understand better what is ailing them, you'll be able to compose a more full and more accurate tefillah on their behalf. And that's what Bikur Cholim is supposed to be about. But here in our perek, Hashem is going to check in on the Jewish people. Kivakarat roe edro, a phrase we use in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur davening, as a shepherd goes looking into his flock. So there, I think the image is that when a shepherd goes looking at the flock, he doesn't just give a general look. He makes sure that he sees every single sheep and every single animal in the flock to make sure they're all okay. Kinevakarat, when he's among the flock, and some of them have gotten lost or separated, he's going to check all after them. I'm going to check out on them, and I'm going to gather them back from wherever they scattered on a day of Anan V'Arafel, a day of doom and gloom, of cloud and gloom is what the JPS English has. It's meaning that until now there have been bad times. And in those bad times, members of the Jewish people got lost and exiled and all those things. And Hashem is saying, I'm going to come back for them. And an important element of coming back for them is, though, that I'm going to recognize and react to the inadequacies of the leadership. I'll take them out of all the nations, and I'm going to gather them from all the lands. I'm going to bring them back to their land, and I'm going to shepherd them. Hashem is going to shepherd them to Hare Yisrael, the mountains of Israel, Bafikim, and all of the water courses of Vechol, Moshe, Veha'aretz, and all the places that you can live, Bimir et Tov Ere Otam, they'll come back to good places to pasture. So that's in the metaphor for sheep. This will be a good place for people to live. Hare Merom Yisrael, Yen Nevehem, and they'll live in the high and best places of the land of Israel. Shamtir Batsna, Bin Neve Tov, they'll lie down and they'll have a good place to live and a comfortable place to live. Over Eshamein Tir Enna, and they'll have good fat pasture land, El Hare Israel and Eretz Oniv, and Yabitim Nu Hashem Lokim. In other words, we will be led by Hashem. Excuse me, Hashem will take care of our needs, and then all will be much better with us. It's reminiscent here of the fact that when way back in Shmuel, when the Jewish people asked for a king, one of the problems that Shmuel had with their request was that they were supposed to ideally envision God as their leader all the time, and they don't. And that's problematic, offensive, whatever the right word would be for that. And so it's interesting here that in Yechezkel, the Nevuah is that, look, you have this leader. I don't know if it's directly connected to that, but certainly the Nevuah says you had the leaders you requested, and they've done poorly by you. I'm telling you, the time will come when I will return to being your leader, and then I will bring you back to Eretz Yisrael, and you will pasture there, and everything will go much better for you. And so Hashem here is promising to make up for all of the flaws in leadership that we've had until now, right? So all of the lost ones are going to be brought back, and the strayed, and the band, and he'll bandage the injured and sustain the weak, and those who are fat and strong. So the reduction is not just because they're fat and strong, but those who are fat and strong and use their strength and use their power to push aside others. Ashmid erena b'mishpat, I'll get rid of them. I will destroy them, meaning that they'll be punished for their wrongs. Erena b'mishpat is I'll execute justice upon them. I would just point out that Rashi had said that the Nidachim were those, right, that those who were wandering and were straying, Rashi. So the Radaka thought they were those who were in exile. So if those were in exile, it just means that they'll be returned to the exiles, which is a common theme in Navi. But if Rashi is serious that Nasu Hefker, that the Jews have become Hefker, Lasot Ish Kirtzono, and that the leadership isn't telling them the right way to act, then when Hashem comes and says, I'm going to bandage up the wounded and I'm going to bring back the straying, it might not only be the straying who physically strayed by wandering to far lands because they went into exile, but it might actually be that Rashi is understanding the psukim to mean that Hashem will also bring back those who have strayed spiritually, those who have left observance and not been observing properly and appropriately, that Hashem will bring those back as well. So that would be an interesting understanding of the psukim. Va'atena tzoni, pasuk yizayin, va'atena tzoni, komar Hashem Elokim, hini shofet ben sela, sela elim vala atudim. Hashem says, and now to the flock, meaning until now it's been the leadership and blaming the leadership for what goes wrong. So he says, I'm going to be judged between the various animals you are, the elim, the atudim, the rams and the bucks, the different animals. Hama'at mikem ha-mireh ha-tov tiru, v'yeter mireichem tirmesu b'raglechem, mishkam mayim tishtu, v'etano tarim b'raglechem tirposun. So now Hashem turns to the Jewish people and says, you know, it's bad enough, what the leadership has done is certainly bad, but it's bad in two ways. It's not only, so in the metaphor, it's not only that you took all of the good pasture for yourselves, but that the rest of the pasture you trampled with your feet, and you drank all of the good water, mishkamim, oh, the deep water that hasn't had mud brought into it, but you also stomped through the rest of the water so that you muddied it up with your legs. In other words, it's not only that they take for themselves, it's that they prevent others from eating whatever leftovers they are, they prevent them from getting the good. Ritzoni mirmas raglechem tirena umirpas raglechem tishtena, leaving umirpas raglechem tishtena, leaving the rest of the flock, the rest of the Jewish people, to get their leftovers, which has now been trampled, so that whatever food they have is trampled food, and whatever water they drink has been watered muddy because they stomped through it. The point being that the leadership and the strong ones are being blamed not only because they took for themselves, but they also ruined it for everybody else. Lachin klamar Hashem Elokim aleihem hinini ani v'shafati v'nseh v'riya uvein seraz. I'm going to judge between those who are healthy and fat and well taken care of and those who are thin and not. In general, it'll be the case. I mean, there's an implication that the healthy ones are healthy because they've done these terrible things, because they've done these wrong things. Vani Hashem, I'm sorry, I skipped. Ya'an b'tzipazuk chav alav, ya'an b'tzad uvichatef tehadofu, v'karnichem tenegichu kol anachlot ad asher hafitzotem otana el achutza. So because you've used your sides and your shoulders to push the others aside, and you've gored them with your horns, all of the other nachalot, all the other inheritances, until you've scattered them out to outside of Eretz Israel, so Hashem says, I'm going to come and save my flock, and they won't any longer be open to other people spoiling them, and I will judge between one sheep and another. So that's a recurring reminder here in our parak, that Hashem is saying that when he comes to judge, it's not going to be a general judgment. We've seen other cases, other occasions where Hashem promises only a general judgment, and so the Jewish people as a whole will suffer because the Jewish people as a whole have done various wrongs. But here, the warning or the reminder or the punishment is being expressed or said towards individuals. And what Hashem is promising is that I will judge between individuals. I will judge individual Jews ben se la se, from one sheep to the other, and I will give them the punishments that each one deserves on its own. V'shafati ben se la se. Hashem is promising here individual justice, which is a much more significant return to justice. V'akimot pasuk of kima, v'akimoti aleihem ro'eh echad v'ra'ayaten et avdi David. I will give them one shepherd to lead them, who will lead them, and that shepherd will be. So the Radak says, when it says Avdi David, it doesn't mean literally David, it means a descendant of David. He will shepherd them, and he will be their shepherd. Rashi says it's a Melech Mizar'o, somebody from his line. But that this whole framework then shows you what it is that the leadership of David and Melech is. It's meant to be not a kingship in that David has a monarchy. David would have a monarchy of service to be the shepherd for the Jewish people. I will be their God and my servant David. So it's an important standard here, right? That it, what part of what makes David HaMelech and his family and his lineage special is that they are the ones who we can trust to understand the job of service and what service means and requires, and that it's not about them getting what they want, them meaning the leadership, the kingship. It's not about them having good and good and successful times for themselves and enriching themselves. It's about them understanding that their role is to bring peace and justice and all of those ideals among the Jewish people, including recognizing that Hashem is really our shepherd. So then I will make a brit shalom, a peace with a covenant of peace with them. And now they'll live in the desert, they'll sit in the desert, in the desert of the wasteland securely, and they will sleep in the woodland. So you tend to read that and you'll say it's a, and here I think the Rambam and other psukim similar to this one says, you know, they're not literal, they're metaphorical. But here you see, I think, internally to the perek, you see why you would say it's metaphorical, right? The whole perek has been about the Jews as being a flock and other nations as being animals who might eat that flock. So here, certainly, when we talk about they're going to live and not have to worry about chaya re'ah, is it mishpati chaya re'ah min aretz, or is it that they'll never have to worry about other nations being a problem for them? So here, at least in this context, it seems clear to me that that while it may be true of animals literally as well, sometimes there are many cases where a metaphor is not only the metaphor, but it's also the literal meaning. But here in this case, it's at least metaphorical, because that's what we've been talking about the whole time. And what it means then is they'll be able to live anywhere without having to worry about it. I will give them around my Giv'ah. The Radak points out my Giv'ah is a reference to Har HaBayit, and that the Mikdash, the Bein HaMikdash, the temple, is the center of the land of Israel, and they will have a bracha, they will have a blessing all around, whenever they live around it. Marati Ageshem Bito, and the rain will come at its right time. Gishmei Vracha Yiyu, and there will be, Geshamim, there will be rains of bracha, rains of blessing. So, the reference to rains of blessing, which seems to be contrasted to rains not of blessing, is a reminder of the story of Shimon ben Shetach, something that I happen to be learning now for a different reason, but the story of Shimon ben Shetach, where he, not Shimon, Choni HaMe'agel, who puts himself in the circle. We all know the story. He puts himself in the circle. He says, I'm not leaving until you give me rain. But the continuation of the story is that Hashem then brings down a few drops of rain. So Choni says, I didn't mean a few drops. I'm not leaving for that. So Hashem says, so then the rains start coming, pelting rain. And Choni says, I don't want a pelting rain either. That's an angry rain. I'm not looking for an angry rain. I'm looking for a Gishmei Bracha. So here too, the reference to Gishmei Bracha is that rain can come in a lot of forms. Right now, as I'm taping this, Iowa is struggling with floods and from their rains. So rain can come in forms that are problematic and distressing as well, and yet we vitally need rain. So here, Gishmei Vrachayu, as Hashem promised, when the rain comes, it'll come in a good way. And particularly those of us who think of ourselves as Zionists and see that the events in Eretz Yisrael as reminiscent of, or perhaps an introduction to, times of return to things like Messianic eras, so the lack of rain in Eretz Israel that has been periodic over the last few years would suggest, at least in the context of this nevuah, that we haven't, that we certainly haven't fully gotten to where we want to get to yet, because we don't have Gishmei Brecha all the time. Sometimes we do, but a lot of times we don't, particularly these past several years, and that is a concern and something we should think about and putting into these contexts of these prakim in Sefer Yechezkel. Pasuk Chavzayim Renatan Eitz Asaded Priyo. So once the rain is coming at the right time, then the trees will give their fruit, and the land will give its produce, and they will live securely in their land. Here too, if we're already in the world of metaphor in this parak, as we clearly are, it makes you wonder something that I've always wondered about, right? And when we now in Eretz Israel, so there's still some produce, there's still some agriculture, there is agriculture, but I just recently heard Rabbi Meir Lichtenstein, I heard a tape of Rabbi Meir Lichtenstein pointing out that he spoke to the agricultural department. He's trying to figure out, in terms of Shemitah issues, how significant Shemitah really is to the economy of the state of Israel, and the agriculture department points out that it's, in absolute terms, it's a lot of money, it's several billion dollars, but in percentage terms, it's just not that much. So here too, does Hashem mean it literally, that the fruit of the land, and that that's where we're going to get our food from. But the truth is, Israel imports food all the time, regardless of this. Or does it mean that the land will, that whatever the produce of the land is, meaning whatever product of the land is that, that fuels the economy and that makes the economy function, that all that will go well. So that's true. The idea of business cycles and of having a good year or a bad year or harvesting a year of good harvest or not good harvest, if you just transfer the word harvest into a fiscal health, then you see that it could mean just in general that there'll be the economy will work well and they'll live, and once the economy is working well, they'll live securely in their land. And then the key of everything, as we've seen many times in Sefer Yechezkel, V'yad'u k'ani Hashem, they will know, and this is supposed to be true of other nations, this is supposed to be true of the Jews by this point for sure, they will know that I am Hashem. V'shivrit motot ulam v'tzaltim yad ha'ovedim bahem, when I break the yokes that are upon them, and I'll save them from those who are enslaving them. So with the return of David, with Hashem being our Ro'eh, with all of these things, so we'll also be free of other nations. And this, I believe, is what we mean by Shibud Malchiot, when we say that in the times of Mashiach, we will have some interpreted as full control of other nations. I'm not sure it has to be go that far, but we will at least be free of the yoke of the other nations. And that yoke, we have to remember, is not only physical and political, but that yoke might be economic. So as long as we are economically subservient, or if you just take an example today, so the state of Israel still feels itself, I don't know what the truth is, but it certainly still feels itself subservient to the United States of America because of the various things that the United States of America has done, does, continues to do in its role as a superpower. So that the advent of times of Mashiach, or the times that we're talking about here, where Hashem will be our Ro'eh and we will be free of those, would seem to be a reference to the fact that we will no longer have to worry about, even about, what they say, and we will be able to judge and act based on what we think is right and appropriate, and we won't have to worry about that. And then other nations will no longer be able to just take the spoils from us. And the beasts of the earth will no longer eat us. Again, beasts of the earth here would mean other nations who would like to damage us. So they won't be able to damage us anymore. And will live securely without any worries. So that's obviously something that's not true yet in Eretz Israel, even though we've had a remarkable return to Eretz Israel, and we may be in a process that will take us to these kinds of situations. Certainly today, it's not true that all of the Jews in the land of Israel live without having to worry about attacks from the north, the east, or the south, or the west. And they're going to be famous, right? Matal l'shem probably means, the Hebrew is not fully certain what it means, but matal l'shem probably means that they will be fully, the Radak seems to think that it means they'll be fully planted there, but also that they'll have planting that will support them, and they won't be gathered with famine from other lands, and then they won't be embarrassed among the nations, right? The idea of being embarrassed among the nations, we've seen elsewhere that when a land can't support itself economically and they don't have enough food there in inhabitants, so that is an embarrassment among the nations, and Hashem says they won't bear that anymore because Hashem will establish them fully and properly and well. V'yadukini Hashem elokehem itam. They'll know, so that is a further step. Not only will they know that I'm Hashem, their God, with them. And they are my people, the Jewish people. This is what Hashem says. So there's one last pasuk in the perek, and I'll get to it because it's a significant pasuk, but just as a whole, I would point out, Shirashim Rabba notes that this is one of the metaphors for the Jewish people and Hashem's relationship. Hashem is the shepherd and we are the flock, and this is being taken to a very full extent here. Very full extent here, and that the upshot of this is that we're going one step further even than the other nations, as should be true for the Jewish people, and it's not only that we'll know that Hashem is the God and the rule of the universe, but that Hashem is our God with a special relationship with us, and we are Hashem's people, which should affect everything that we do, that as we walk around, knowing that we are Hashem's people, adds various responsibilities in terms of making our knowledge of Hashem's presence in our lives that much more explicit, and being very clear about that with others. So that would be a piece of what it would mean to be Hashem's nation, and other examples that I won't go into Now, but that's the upshot here. They will know from as all these things unfold, they will come to realize, they will fully come to realize that I am Hashem. Pasuk Lamed Aleph Ve'atein Sonitzon Mariti Adam Atem. And you are my sheep, the flock that I tend to. You are Adam. Ani Elokechem, I am your God, Nu Hashem Elokim, says Hashem. So that's a pasuk that could just seem odd and strange and sort of, and you're my people and I'm Hashem, and I'm, but Chazal understood it in halach context to mean much more than that. They take the word Adam here very significantly. And Tosa point out in several places that what I'm about to say isn't fully true, because there are contexts where non-Jews as well are referred to as Adam, but what Chazal say is that we're called Adam, and non-Jewish nations are not called Adam. Now, Adam here doesn't mean human beings, right? It's not a denial, and this is the way some non-Jews have taken it and therefore fueled anti-Semitic attacks over the centuries. But it doesn't say they're not Adam as in they're not human beings. It says they're not Adam as in they're not Adam. So Adam is somewhat of a technical term, and we who are studying Yechezkel should know that better than almost anybody, because Yechezkel is consistently repeatedly referred to as Ben Adam. So it might mean just, yeah, you're a human being because you're born of man, but we've suggested all along that it's saying something else. It's trying to lift him and make him understand his lofty position in Hashem's eyes by calling him again and again Ben Adam. So then here, and in the context in which Chazal have it, first of all, they have it as in the context of the Isser of being Sach Shem and Hamishcha. If you anoint yourself with oil, which was oil set aside to be to anoint kings and Kohanim Gedolim, so that's a prohibition in the Torah. But it's only a prohibition in the Torah to do it to Adam. Right, Al Basar Adam Lo Yisach. So the Gemara says, therefore, if you do it to animals or you do it to inanimate objects, you're not chayiv. It's not that it's mutter, it's not that it's allowed, but you're not chayiv, you're not going to be liable for it. And if you do it to those who are not living, also, because they're not Adam anymore, and if you do it to non-Jews, you'll also be putter. So the Gemara says, I understand, why are you putter for that? They're human beings. So the Pasuk, so they say, no. It is, it says, Al Basar Adam Lo Yisach, and our Pasuk Vatein, Son Mariti Adam Atem. You are Adam. So just again, I want to make this very clear. It's not a question of human versus not human. It's a question of Adam in a technical sense versus not Adam, because Gemara Elsher says that if it says Ha Adam, that can include non-Jews. And Tosafot points out there are places where it just says Adam, and yet the Gemara says, it says elsewhere, V'nefesh Adam Shishasar Aleph, and that certainly means people over there, and it's Pasuk Bamidbar. We say, yeah, but that's excluding animals, because in that context, you see that it's excluding animals. So there's times when in Tanakh, when Adam just refers to people, human beings, and then non-Jews are certainly included in that. So I want to be very clear about that. But there are technical times when Adam is a reference to some higher form of human being. You might say that it's a return to primordial man who was able to really fully recognize Hashem. That could be. Certainly in the context of, there's a Rambam. So the Rambam actually in the Morning Nevuchim seems to suggest, or I heard once from Professor Aviezer Ravitsky, the suggestion that the Rambam believes that that the point of Torah and what Torah will take us back to, at least one stage of it, will be getting us back to Gan Eden, getting us back to a stage where we can be like Adam HaRishon was and recognize God as fully as Adam did. So if that's true, then perhaps here, that's what Adam means here. That will be the level of being able to return to that level of experience and appreciation and recognition of God. And in that context, that's what the Jewish people are. If that's true, that explains the Shem and HaMishka, because this was dedicated for the service of God in terms of the Beit HaMikdash, or in terms of being a Jewish king. And we've just seen in our chapter that Jewish kingship is a sacred service rather than a privilege. So that service would be one that it's only a full breaking of it if people who are really cognizant of what's going on, so if you put it on them, they're really violating it. If you put it on people who don't understand it, or animals, or inanimate objects, not the same experience, not the same violation of the proper use of that oil. Similarly, the Tumat Ha'ohel, the ritual impurity created by corpses in a room, meaning touching a corpse, even a non-Jewish corpse, creates Tumah. But in terms of the Tumah created within a room, that too the Gemara restricts to Jews, for the similar reason that it says, Zotra Adam Kiyam, it's restricted to Adam, and that applies to Jews and not to non-Jews. So at the end of the parak, that last pasuk, gives us a sense of what it means to be Tzon Hashem and what it means to be part of Hashem's people. It's that we're supposed to become Adam. Have a great day.